6,200 people die every hour, 150,000 a day. An entire city's worth of people die every single day. And Jesus wants you and I urgently to help save their souls. That's what we're going to talk about in today's video. If you'd like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. Let's get right into it. Here's what happened. 5 days ago, I received the following email. Dear Alvaro, I have no idea what I'm doing, but I have felt there is an urgent need to pray for last-minute conversions. I don't have a platform, I don't have a voice, and yet I am restless to get this message out. Your name keeps coming to me. I don't know if this is divine or if it's my anxious soul seeking purpose, but I feel an urgency for this. Please pray and discern. I did. I emailed her back asking a few questions, essentially asking, what is this? Is this souls that are dying or what type of conversions? And she said, yes, that is it exactly. Praying so that people will convert in their last minute of life. It is never too late for God's mercy to touch those souls. Now, at the same time, I was reading about a blessed, and this is from the collection from Blessed Carlo Acutis, who will be canonized on September 7th, Blessed Catherine Mattei of Racconigi. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. She was an incredible stigmatist, mystic, suffered a lot in her life. Listen to some of her life, some of the things that she went through, and something that Jesus told her to correct something that she was doing, and it's related to everything that we're talking about. So listen to this. She's quite an interesting person. She was born in Racconigi, Piedmont. This is in Italy, in 1486. She was a weaver of ribbons when she heard the call of the Lord. It seems that she frequented a community of Servites where she learned to know the truths of the faith and to love God. In 1509, she began to frequent a small Dominican convent, and she placed herself under the spiritual direction of a renowned preacher, Father Domenico Onesti of Bra. Soon suspicions and slanders started to develop around her, given her intense life of prayer. Some spoke about supernatural occurrences happening to her and exaggerate or change those phenomena, while others judged her as a fanatic, provoking alarm among the ecclesiastical authorities. Then in 1512, she was forced to appear at an episcopal tribunal in Turin to be questioned about the occurrences. At the tribunal, Catherine recounted her life and the mystic episodes, and the judges acquitted her of the accusations. Isn't this funny that when you're too holy, you get in trouble? In 1514, she was received into the Dominican order as a tertiary in Racconigi. Due to her continuous mystic experience, she was forced to leave the town and to withdraw to Caramanga, Piemonte, which is, I think, a mountainous region. She had a special relationship with the souls in purgatory. One evening, while Catherine was in bed, stricken by a high fever, she was thinking about the souls in purgatory when suddenly she was enraptured in ecstasy and was led to purgatory. She saw the flames of purgatory and the souls who were suffering the most atrocious pains. All of a sudden, she heard a voice that said, "Catherine, in order that from now on you may take more to heart the poor souls, I will now make you feel on your head their pains for an instant." As soon as she finished hearing those words, she saw coming towards her a spark of fire that struck her left cheek. Some fellow sisters present saw this spark, and immediately the face of Catherine swelled and remained like that even after she regained her senses. The blessed confessed that all the pains she had suffered up to then, which were a lot, remember she was a stigmatist and had all types of suffering, so she had led up to then a life of suffering, and then listen to what she says, that all the pains she suffered up to then, although they had been numerous, they were nothing compared to the pain caused by that spark, that little instant of purgatory. And I can testify to this because more than 3 years ago, I had my bike accident where I broke my neck and I experienced this fire in my arms, which it's a phenomenon that happens to people that have a certain injury to parts of their spine and to nerves in their spine. I knew that that was God giving me a natural experience of purgatory, so it wasn't even a mystical, and it was horrible. The most painful thing I've ever experienced by far. From that day, she took even more to heart the destiny of the souls of purgatory and offered prayers and penances in supplication for them. Another time, a Carthusian monk appeared to Catherine, who in 1409, 100 years earlier, had set himself against Gregory XII during the Council of Pisa, but who before dying had reconciled himself with the Pope and the Church and had made penance. But it was revealed to the Blessed that he had been condemned by God to expiate a very harsh purgatory, from which he was liberated thanks to the prayers and penances and sacrifices offered for him by Catherine. And here's the correction. So you could see that she loved praying for the souls in purgatory, understandably, because of everything that she saw. But yet Jesus wanted to show her this. One day to the Blessed appeared Jesus, from whose wounded side was flowing a large stream of blood, of which half was descending to the earth on sinners, and half was descending on the souls of purgatory. Catherine understood that she had to offer half of her voluntary offerings of prayers and penances for the conversion of sinners, and half in supplication for the souls of purgatory. Let's talk about this. So, now, that was something that she experienced, but we can take it and generalize some profound truths. First of all, that, and I experienced this myself, that because of all the research and all the videos, we can focus a lot on one thing. As her, understandably, she probably prayed all of everything that she did for the souls in purgatory. Jesus lovingly comes and says, hey, you need to divide that up between here and here. And that's what I want us to do. That's what Jesus wants us to do, connecting to that email. I was reading that just around the same time, and the Lord as if was confirming, this is what all of us should be doing. What's great about praying for the conversion of those that are dying is that you could weave it right in. With every breath that you pray for the souls in purgatory, it's so very easy to say, Blessed Mother, please console the souls in purgatory and save sinners that are dying. In one breath, you can include them. It's not an extra devotion. It's something that's woven in right there. And in the rosary that we have, shameless plug, every night at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time on Zoom, or the easiest way to join, YouTube Live, I've made it a habit to pray for the souls in purgatory at the beginning, but also for sinners that are dying. But I'm especially going to focus and word it for those that are dying in that hour, those 6,200 souls that are dying right there. Every hour, every time that you were praying within that hour, or if in a holy hour that you were doing, you have 6,000 people that you could help. Most people would say in a good year that they maybe could help 6,000 people. As you know, I'm a therapist and I'll tend to see 20 to 30 people a week, sometimes more, sometimes less. But if I'm doing that, let's say it's 25 people, 100 a month, in a year, so that's like around 1,200 people, but a lot of times it's repeated. It's not even close to 6,000 people, not even close, but that's how many you can help in an hour. And Jesus tells us to love our neighbors as we would love ourselves. Do unto others as you would have done unto you. I want someone praying for me when I'm dying. I want someone to pray for me when I'm in purgatory. So this is the most charitable thing that we could do. And I do want to highlight a particular patron of purgatory, Blessed Marie of Providence. She was a French nun that started the Holy Helpers of the Poor Souls. I believe I have the name of the religious community wrong, but she started the only religious community dedicated to the souls in purgatory completely. They were also dedicated to the poor. She was advised by St. John Vianney himself, and he approved of what she did. He said, you do that. We need this now. And she said, and I have her relic, which I'll show you, I would like to, with one hand, empty purgatory, and with the other, fill it with the souls that were throwing themselves into hell. Isn't that beautiful? I don't know if you can kind of see that, but that's exactly what I want to do. That's exactly the spirit of this channel right here. And if it hasn't been, it needs to be now. that we want to, with one hand, empty purgatory, with another, fill it with those that were throwing themselves into hell. And when we pray for those that are dying, think about this. We become like the Blessed Mother. We become like Christ. Why? What do we pray in the Hail Mary? I was thinking about this at Mass today. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. The two times that we ask the Blessed Mother to pray for us, the present moment and the hour of our death. Think about that. The hour of our death, so many things can happen. It's one of the most, if not the most sacred hour, because so many things can happen. So many graces can be received in our hearts. We don't want to rely on deathbed conversions, but those are the final moments when perhaps we can repent more deeply, where we could send ourselves closer to God, higher into heaven. When we are praying for those that are dying, guess who's right next to us? Guess who's the chief person praying right next to us? Our Lady, because we are invoking her in this way all the time. It's the last thing we ask her, to pray for us at the hour of our death. We become like her and we assist her. If in this battle of life, I want to stand next to Our Lady, doing that battle of praying for those that are dying. How can we pray for those that are dying? We have all of it here already. Things like the sorrowful mysteries. So I'd recommend the rosary, especially those, the mysteries that focus on Jesus' sufferings, the sorrowful mysteries. The chaplet of divine mercy is incredibly appropriate. And then I always go to the Fatima prayers. The five Fatima prayers are amazing, especially the sacrifice prayer. This is a prayer that we pray whenever we are offering to Jesus any sacrifice. And the angel and the Blessed Mother specifically told the children, so many people go to hell because no one prays or offers sacrifices for them. We need both of those things. So here's a sacrifice prayer. If you haven't prayed it in a while, listen to this. Oh my Jesus, I offer this for love of thee, for the conversion of sinners, and in reparation for the sins committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary. It's an amazing prayer because we take what we are suffering and we do it for the love of Jesus at the beginning, for the love of Mary at the end, and in the middle, right smack in the middle, the perfect place to be, for conversion of sinners. And all of this was shown to them in the context of them seeing hell. So this is a powerful prayer that we can pray for those that are dying, specifically sinners, those on the way to hell. These are the ones that are the most urgent. My friends, let's do this together. Let's help Jesus save souls. If this video has helped you in any way, please subscribe and support this channel through Buy Me a Coffee. I'll see you in the next one.